This is Tevin from Rare Form Brewing, and you're listening to Steal This Beer.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday.
Sure, why not?
We are stealing beer.
Donnie, you put these on our tab, right?
Yeah, these beers you brought us over on our tab?
Well, I was going to do it, but then it was like, you're probably going to call me out of future.
By the way, you would know. Wait, you would know.
I made you
is
pay
that,
for my own beer.
Is that Noel Gallagher at the bar?
No, it's not. Somebody definitely trying to act like him.
100%. When I walked in.
Augie almost booked him on the show.
When I walked in for the Donnie Graham show, I was like, did that motherfucker have one of the Gallagher brothers meet him at the bar? And everybody's like, what's he talking about? I was like, there is a knockoff.
He's definitely trying to be
tall,
a Manchester.
Right? But he's too tall.
He's
right?
been too young.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Good. But he's definitely full blown. 93 Oasis family.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Right, so then we're
it's our second show of the day, and we've already just launched right into the conversation without introducing our guest, and that's my fault.
We meant to do better. We said if we're going to have Doniger on, we should get him early because Augie's bad around him in the first place.
We can all do better.
The last time I saw the two of you together was at Hunapu last year when we did a bunch of shows, and I saw the two of you conspiring and doing something together, and as soon as I saw that happening, I was like, I'm leaving.
You left the state?
Yeah, I absolutely left
you
the state.
You were smarter than the 90
Read
people who ended
paper.
Up incarcerated
who's sitting,
that
who's
night.
Sitting in the seat? Who's the accomplice
talk.
This evening?
Stop interrupting me, John Holm. Anyway. So, first of all, I'm going to say it right, because part of my lineage is Irish. It should be pronounced like Donaher, right? Like Donaher?
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
But we all say Doniger because we're an American, you're a Republican in Queens.
Yeah, way argue.
It is Patrick, right? It's one of the West Coast names of Ireland, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. That's all my Irish experience. I grew up with an O'Donnell, so I know a lot about Donegal and these names. But
Gibbons is the middle name, man.
So like I say Cicerone, you County should Mayo. Say Donaher. It's like Donaher, right?
Donaher.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so moving on. But it's Patrick Doniger. Of millions of places.
So many places.
Some of my favorite haunts. And publican turned brewer, which we all got to talk about.
Yeah.
And there's a couple ways in this conversation. I'm going to start with one of my old favorite jokes.
And how come you get the beaks?
Because it's my show.
And they're orange.
Yeah, well, branding.
Yeah, it just sticks on brands. The whole thing is, you know, you buy him the really expensive thing that he thinks is better than everything else, and, you know, it just makes him happy and it keeps him quiet. Yeah. So we try not to talk about it.
I got inspired by that guy from Manchester over there. I'm keeping my hat on the whole
It's the right move. It's so smart.
I got glasses to be on right
now. You could be mixing at a soundboard right now. You could be making fresh beats.
Gonna be the one that saves me.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So the joke I'm going to make to lead it off, because it's kind
right now
of,
there's people who are singing now and after yeah.
But, and you're going to get us sued because you got one more word before we're out of public domain. Anyway, so John, do you know? God damn it! There you go. Yeah, now it's private.
It's beer week. A couple of beers.
We got to talk about that too. Shit, we got a lot of shit to talk about.
We don't.
So
have
let's
to
get
talk
right into it. So you know what the luck of the Irish is? The luck of the Irish is stepping in dog shit and saying you're lucky you're wearing your bad shoes, right? So every time I'm with Patrick, something fucking horrible has just happened, and he's bright-siding it all the way through the night, which makes him a wonderful publican and why I enjoy finding my way to his bars at
100%
some point whenever I can. But you just came out of the worst stress a young brewery can go through, where you bought a whole shit ton of stainless steel from a company that went bankrupt in the middle of making your stainless steel.
DME
and
I see up you in Canada,
that,
right?
Well, DME slash Newlands. Like, the guys that made my brew house as part of that partnership. And you committed, and it all went away. But did I see an announcement that you've sorted that out? You now have either your steel or some steel coming, so you can actually brew your own beer now? Or will be able to?
I am, and still am in part of the shit show. but yes, I put a bit large deposit down a couple of years ago. And
gleefully, like I remember the excitement.
Yeah, I was excited.
Yeah, we saw
it's
you right after.
I was advised by a lot of people to go with DME. Like I asked
because they
quite
were
a bit,
very
you know,
good at what they
27
did.
27 years of experience. And
when we bought from Newlands, we like if you read the opening thing for us, like state of the art. Like they were the best little brew house maker in the world, and DME absorbed them, and it was perfect. It was the right move. Mm. And except for you, it was hey, I'm going to contract a little, and then I'm going to get my own system. It's coming. And that shit all hit the fan a year ago, and now you're finding your way out of it?
Yeah, a little bit more. We were supposed to do two locations to build that, and one fell through really bad. Wasted close to a year on that one. And then the second one we have now, we ended up using it as Alewife, and I bought it from previous owners last year and turned it into a brew pub. So that was supposed to house our 10-barrel brew house. And then it wasted another year and that with landlords and stuff going back and forth. So, you know, that was fucking...
Now, here's the thing. Everybody's going to hear this. And most any other brewer says this to me. I go, yeah, city's a little hard on guys. And the water inspector and the fire inspector and the electric inspector and the concrete inspector and the rat inspector and da-da-da-da-da. But you are in my lifetime experience, a classic New York publican. You've had, like, you go all the way back to Rattle and Hum when that was the most important bar. And
hands down,
you
the
even
most
got
important
AB
bar in the
to
city.
Give you, but AB gave you gave you the best bar in America in 13 when they were still called Rapier.
I wasn't sure where you were going with it, but but well done.
Yeah. Stuck the landing.
Well done. No, it's a 10 out of 10. It's a 10 out of 10.
But so what I'm saying is, you know how fucking hard it is to do anything in New York.
Yeah.
So were you just being a little too shiny with this?
I can get this. You just keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah, I'm done now with bars.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm trying to get out.
Sad.
Well, see, I've always wanted to come back around and get into brewing industry from years ago when I first opened Cherry Tree in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And that was the first little beer bar. And then Fourth Avenue Pub opened across the street, Pacific Standard, became a cool little community. But ever since I started playing around with craft beer back then, which there wasn't a whole pile to choose from, but the interest struck me for brewing, and I've always wanted to get into it.
You know it's our ball, right?
But I went around the way around a long way. So I opened bars instead and tried to do it as well as possible.
But you've seriously opened very important bars. Like,
yeah.
So were you an owner at Rattle and Hum, or were you just
the GM/profit sharing owner?
Okay, all right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, fuck, I've had
but the years that you were there were...
Well, it was all mine, I think, when I was doing it, because, like, my brother owns it, and he loved what I was doing in Brooklyn and Cherry Tree, and he asked, like, can you just do this with beer in New York? And I was like, yep. So...
And
it just went off, yeah. And I spent a bit of time traveling around before we opened it and after, just to meet
but
new
like
brewers.
Those happy hour guys, when they wanted to meet me to talk about stuff, we'd always meet at Rattle and Hum. Like,
everybody
was
met at
the,
Rattle and
but it was
Hum.
The
I mean, like,
place
to
go if you're coming in from Jersey. It was easy that way. You know what I mean? Like, I spent a lot of time at that bar back
me
in
too.
Those days.
No, we all
yeah, but you don't remember any of them. I've got some memories.
No, but like, when you think about like bars that have had an impact on certain industries, right? So there was always like, you know, people would go up to Elaine's, or people would go to... you know, Joe Allen, or you know, if you were in Broadway, if you were a journalist, or you do, if you were in beer or associated with beer or wanted to be associated with beer, you'd go to Rattle and Hum on, you know, Midtown. Like that's where
it was exciting.
That's where
too,
shit got done.
It was where craft beer kind of blew up a little.
We were
bit,
all
you know?
Tiger guys as well. Tiger was always, you know, I always thought Tiger was a little bit different, right?
Well, because, see, I was a downtown guy, but I would meet uptown friends at Rattle. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'd be a Tiger guy, and that was my travel bar. Like, all right, I'll meet you up at Rattle.
But I think, like, everybody who came in from out of town, Tiger was always on the list, but Rattle and Hum was always on the list as well. Like, and that was I think more of the.
But then you went and opened Alewife, which is also an amazing.
Oh no, it was already open. Danny Lanigan opened it.
Okay.
And then
did he open it?
He operated for a year and it didn't do so well. So then I was finishing up a Rattle, looking to do a new thing, and I went over there.
I didn't realize it was open before you.
Yeah, it was open for over.
So that's probably why he
years
to call
you know. And then
way to go, Dan.
Then I opened
Dan Lanigan
Jeffrey.
Of Lord Hobo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then I opened a Jeffrey and Fool's Gold and the Rochard. And
I
consulted for a shitload of bars, too.
And named after your lovely wife.
My
and,
dear wife, Roz,
Congratulations, by the way. You have that look that I had almost about 2 years ago this
you
time.
You hungover,
just,
man?
Hungover with how old's your kid? Like 3 months?
3 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And adorable.
Yeah.
I'm still recovering from opening Bash on Saturday.
That's actually where I want to get to after we get to the next beer, because you've been in the fucking thick of it between being a... a bar guy and a beer guy. I don't imagine you got a break from Wednesday. But we'll get to it. First, let's talk about beers. So you gave us all a beer to drink that I think you bought on your check, which Justin is going to clean up. But what is the pale ale with a whole bunch of modern Citra hops in it we're drinking right now?
He doesn't remember. He's got to look at the list.
Zero Gravity, nice. Little Wolf.
Sorry?
Zero Gravity, Little Wolf.
Okay, cool. All right, so that's the side beer that just showed up that I didn't know about. But it's wicked fruity, and it's making the Saison-y thing we're drinking out of the black glass pop extra Saison-y.
A little bit.
So let me make the speech. What brings us together on the beer is a can of conversation of beer. What we're drinking, what it is, not what we thought it would be. To facilitate that, John and I drink blind out of black glasses. Patrick bought the beer. Justin served
really
the beer.
They really are black glasses.
They're pitch. Have you never seen the glasses?
No.
I thought I met you at a show or after show or something. But yeah, they're pitch black. You can't see anything in them. You can barely get your eye in there. You get your nose in there and you smell and you move on. Opaque black glasses by...
It's like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
But it's an old learning to taste drink. It's an old learning to taste drink. So what
care how moist you look, John. It's not been in there.
Jesus Christ. John Hall, what are you learning to taste out of your black glass?
So I'm immediately – so listen, I love our listeners, and thanks for everybody for tuning in kind of thing. I kind of wish the mics weren't around right now because it's always just fun to hang out with Patrick.
That's like, the problem.
I know.
But – if we can keep them from getting you to crack up, it could be great radio. Stick with me.
God, this is bright. This is effervescent. This is
Fun.
This is almost like a like an Irish Spring type soap.
That's
feel.
A hell of a compliment given to black glass.
That's a microaggression.
It's not at all. Right?
Next, you know it's going to taste like Lucky Charms.
Fuck off.
Don't be that guy.
Fuck off.
Come on.
Too late.
Listen, coming from the, you know how you were pronouncing his name the right way? My great grandmother was Horan, as we say, here in the U.S., but it's always Horan.
Yep.
Back in the day.
That's not a nice thing to say.
That's my great grandmother. How dare you? So I'll
she
stick
was
with
a fun
give
girl.
It.
She got it right.
All right, so here's the
she
thing.
Ran, here, apparently.
Here's the thing. I'm confused.
No, but I'm like
confused
this because
by what's
it's
going
so
on because
vibrant
of this
and it's
side
so
beer.
Like
that's
yeah.
The thing. There's real prettiness to it. Here, take a sip so you know what I'm talking about. We just threw Kevin on mic because Justin had to go to little boys' room or something. But
yeah,
if you listen to our last episode, you'll remember Kevin. And
thank you. I promise not to spill any beer on the electronics.
Well, Kevin Nolan, if you could just hit it with a bottle brewing. As hard as you can. Doniger just walked away. That wasn't us telling you to go.
That's fine.
Nah, Justin will do it. He's a never stopping like bar guy, right? The minute he walked in, he went and grabbed a round of beers. Like he's a bar guy.
He started serving. He grabbed a rag.
It's kind of anyway. Let's get back to it. So there's
people. Look at you.
There's a neat. there's a neat ashiness to it that I like where it's finishing. I like that it's dry. And literally, when I first got it, right after my first sip of the pale, I was like, oh, it's Orval because it's like that yeast and like that Brett finish.
Mm-hmm.
But it's it isn't Orval. Because it's so bright and fruity. In the context of that ashy, dry finishing, I really wonder what the yeast is. Like, is it just a Belgian pale yeast that somebody attenuated on the colder side? And it's just because it's, I feel like, it could be anybody's weedy, pale. It's definitely not Chico, and it's probably not London 3 is the only thing I'm committing to. There's a yeast character that's exciting to me.
Yeah.
And I think this pale we're drinking is fucking it up a bit.
Sure, probably.
I can see that.
So here's the interesting thing, right? When you started saying ashy, I went to like paper ash, and then in my mind I went back to, the Catholic Church and incense and the sort of burning of the incense. But it doesn't have that like deep incense, like Catholic incense thing.
You be chewing much paper ash these days, John?
What are you doing over there, John?
You know, it's, listen, what happened back in the day?
So let's get
when I was an altar boy?
Let's get an incense or let's light the coals and throw some bars of Irish soap on it. That's where you're at?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah.
I'm not with you there, but I like
fine.
It.
Fine.
I'm almost feeling almost a little bit of mineral content.
Super mineral.
But that goes into that
Irish Spring. That goes into that.
But
that,
maybe it's just from a really hard water part of the world, right? What if it's just from a
true could
properly
be.
Like
yeah.
I don't know where I'm
nothing
thinking.
Nothing softened up just yet.
Yeah, just really brutally hard water. Mm-hmm. Part of like Dortmund.
Irish Spring is made in New Jersey, so you're going to get pretty hard water.
Is that right?
You know?
Is that right, P&J?
I think that's for you. Well, I don't know what you guys... You're gnawing on soap all of a sudden?
I don't know, dude. This is John's.
He's gnawing on paper. You're gnawing on soap.
This is
I don't know
John's
what the fuck's going on here.
This is John's. I'm just paying attention to my co-host and partner, Donovan. All right, so...
So wait, before we find out what this is, did you grab this from one of the bars, one of your many bars in your empire before you came
no,
here?
Well, or did see, this I was up at the other Treadwell Park, uh-huh. and I was about to have a bowl of chili at the Jeffrey.
Did you go there by wrong?
And I was like, all right, so I'll grab a bottle of Derrier here, which I didn't bring, and I wanted to bring. Mm-hmm. And then when I seen his email, I just legged it down to Subway, and I stopped. Where did I stop? Oh, no, I found a bottle, the next bottle. I grabbed that out of the fridge. And I didn't know I forgot it too. So, but I plan to go there because I know Milk and Hops and First Avenue have a great beer selection. So I was going to jump in there and grab something cool.
Oh, I think it's
so
cool.
I'm intrigued about it.
You just grabbed this because it was like a warm body.
John.
No, I bought that one right here because it's my
favorite
beer.
John, it's the king of all beers. Yeah. So where am I drinking this? I'm drinking this with a roasted fish kind of dish, like. You know, something cool. Say, so I've got an Aussie friend who's got a way to take a big, stupid, meaty white fish, put it in one of those grill presses with like a nice version of like a teriyaki glaze, and then he just grills it.
You could be like, glazing it with like roasted paper and,
and
Irish
Spring.
Yeah. Well, no, you have to get off the micro pointer.
You don't even need
the
beer anymore.
You have to get off the micro pointer for the Irish Spring, right? You have to
unless you've got the Cuisinart blade, then you can just zip it right through.
Well, sure, of course.
But obviously. But
well, that's the Costco size.
Do you know Cuisinart makes a microplane blade that will destroy your hand? Like I may have a cut on my finger right now from something I made 6 years ago.
That was so weird that you gave me your middle finger as you were showing me what finger
this
you
is,
cut.
This is where I got the cut, John. Anyway, back to it.
No, this is a springtime beer for me. This is.
No, I want it with that grilled fish.
And I'm running through a field. And I'm holding a glass of this beer as I drink it.
The
fuck
acid's
off,
really
fuck
kicking
off.
In. Dude, now. Is this,
no, wait. So
we
clearly, Donovan.
We were 60 minutes in Treadwell when the acid really kicked in.
So clearly, Donovan knows
beer country.
And I've never been more excited. But yeah, no, I'm going with oily white fish grilled with some sweet sauce on it, and it's Orval.
Wow, so hungry right now.
My nose is unfucking believable. I should never listen.
Never had this before. No,
this beer continues.
Dude, you were here. I smelled. I said it's Orval,
I
John. The minute I smelled it, I said it's Orval, John, to save him, and then I backed.
How many
Orval.
Other people forgot to bring beer that they had to buy the same beer at the bar?
So here's the funniest thing, and why Orval is one of the greatest beers, Patrick.
It's the best.
We've had them
menu.
Like 6 years old. It's, you know what it is? It's what I drink in Newark. Whenever I'm like, I got to fly, I'm like, I'm going to get a bite of food. Everybody, for some reason, has Orval in Newark.
Really?
And because they're so bad at beer, you can get like a good like 2.5-year-old bottle.
So this is July of 18, Orval. So this is super young, super fresh. Yeah. Wicked fresh.
Right. That's why it threw you off.
It's you. When did you move to New England?
But that's what I love about it. It's never the same fucking beer twice, and only the yeast ties it together.
Yeah.
It's like the rug, man. All right.
All right, so back to it. So you give us your feedback, because somehow we managed to avoid, except for me doing a fucking proper boondoggle brew with Burial down at Carton on Saturday, I managed to avoid so far the New York Beer Week thing.
Right. I was in Troy, New York with Kevin.
As an owner of three important bars / brewer, what's this week been for you? How are you? How'd the weekend go?
Been pretty crazy last week because, you know, new brewery has just been kicking my ass, doing like... What did I do the other day? I done 30 bars, 30 deliveries, 12 hours, 4 boroughs. And then that was Friday. Because we like to pick Friday because, you know, traffic day.
Yeah.
It's sensible.
Did you do it on a 10 speed? I'm pretty sure the only way to do that is by bike messenger.
Right. That would be good. Amazon blew up in Long Island City, so I wasn't using them.
Yeah, call up Manhattan Portage. Call up Manhattan Portage and get them to make you a bike bag that'll hold 1.5 barrel. Just one at a time. Just right out, single speed, only a front brake.
I really appreciate the fact you think I'm young and strong.
So New York Beer Week was 3 weeks ago when this airs. Which is fun.
It's still interesting to see what's going on because New York has evolved so quickly. So Carton used to do all these events because they couldn't find New York breweries to do all these events. Yeah. We were the redheaded stepchild of the sixth borough, and they'd bring us in. Yeah. And now they, you know, they ask us out of politeness, but they don't need us. There's a ton of great New York breweries.
I think it's still in baby stages with our craft beer in New York City because I've been doing this now for. Actually, it was fun the other day. I was thinking to somebody,
Jesus fuck.
And we were like, "He's like, how long have you been in the industry?" I was like, "Oh man, it must be a decade now, you know." I was like, "I've been doing this since I got here." And then, like a few minutes later, Roz comes over to me. She goes, "You know, you're here nearly 20 years, right?" I was like, "Ah, couldn't be." No. I fucking realized, and I was counting on my fingers, and I needed another hand, so I went and I got another hand.
You're like,
and then I finished my count, and I realized I needed another hand.
See, now here's what's funny about that, and this isn't me just blowing smoke over your ass. It's the truth. Neither of you look old enough to have been doing anything for 20 years.
Appreciate that.
Right? I think of you as some old.
It's
man.
All my vegetables. I get my vegetables.
But you started. You must have started very young.
I opened my first place at 27.
Okay. Wow. So you're way older than I think. You're my age.
He and I are the same age.
Yeah. I'm not that old, Augie.
No.
I swear to God.
Jesus, John, you gotta live better.
Goddamn. Every time
John, we're all now concerned. I'm glad you have a great face for radio. This is good.
John, if that's
folks,
true.
He's old as shit.
Patrick and I are absolutely the same age.
If that is true.
I actually showed
him because I know how Donna
is. Yeah, he's got a tattoo.
I couldn't get into a bar when I was 21 in New York, and I went around the corner. I got tattooed my date of birth on it. And I came back to the security guy. I was like, "That's why the fuck do you think I would get this done?
Classic.
Like, really? Right there. Look, it's right there.
Just so you know, it's easy. Never hard to get a fake ID in this town.
Yeah, but I got a tattoo.
It had to be harder to get the tattoo.
Yeah.
Justin.
Oh, wait, it's only in our headphones. He told us not to worry about it.
Crackles.
Stop. The more you hit it.
Dude, I was raised in
the
70s.
Tastes like Rice Krispies.
You hit, right?
Just say this beer tastes.
This beer tastes just like Rice Krispies.
With a splash of sugar.
It's not that, John. It's this. Anyway, moving on. Just ignore it. It'll go away.
Ignore
Justin's
me.
Justin's told us. Justin, I'm going to need you to prove that nobody hears this but us. Just please double check that.
Yeah, because Augie and I aren't going to listen.
Check check Doniger episode.
I've never
minute.
To
hold
that
on. I'm going to check the minutes. 21. Minute
that's,
21.
That's just rude, man. I mean, don't come on and be a guest.
No, I've never listened to my own.
Oh, okay. You have a podcast?
No. I started one. And I
dude, he's in Oasis. Why do you think Neil Gallagher's sitting at the
No,
I
listened to this one. I've just never heard my other ones.
Oh, okay. I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway.
Wait, have you actually listened to the show? That's unflattered. That's tasty, though.
I listened to your show all the way up to Buffalo one time. Listened to a lot of them all the way up to fucking Buffalo, actually.
The worst part, though, is you drink with me, so it must annoy the fuck out of you.
A little bit.
It's got to.
God, you have
John
no
just
idea.
Makes me mad
you
all the time.
You have no idea. Fuck off.
But people, so the thing is, this show isn't an act, and I'm not fucking around. This is what I'm like to drink with. Yeah. But people that actually drink with me, I imagine they're like, "Oh wait, he's about."
We're
to
actually
sleep.
Not even in a bar right now. We're in Augie's kitchen making his fucking dinner.
We did.
This
an episode,
is what he makes us do.
We did an episode for my kitchen, and it was terrible.
Is that true?
Don't you remember you were there? Flounder was in. Didn't we do some episodes for my house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Was I there?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Fun.
You went into the Carton time warp.
We lose time. Doniger, that's what we do.
Idea.
Hold on. We got to talk about beer too. You're ready for a fucking letter.
No,
I'm just. I get it because Kevin's on mic. So, did you get a black glass? And you have no idea what you're drinking.
I have no idea.
What I'm let's this throw this in Kev's lap. Let's
Kevin.
Make him do this.
Yeah,
that's right. Good. So, Kev, what do you got?
On the nose, I get a little bit of that like rancid. You know, like that.
That poopy, butteric.
Exactly. Yep.
But not at an offensive level.
Not an offensive level at all. Underneath it, you can smell like I get some fruits, almost strawberry coming through.
Yep. Huh. Yep, for sure. The strawberry is what I was getting till you pointed out that little touch of butteric, and I definitely see it. But you know what's funny is I actually enjoy it. Like I'm one of those aquash cheese guys.
Yeah.
So when I've pushed that as far as I'd like to push it, I've had an entire part of the world get mad at me. Like, this is a terrible beer. And I'm like,
your fingers are all stinky because you've had to use every one of them to get a good clean swipe of aquash. I've done it, man.
I've been right there with you. Oh, slick all the way up to your wrist. But you know what I mean?
And I was like,
was like, and I've said to her, I was like, but when you're at the cheese counter, have you said this doesn't smell horrible enough? Because that's where I come from, and that's how I was approaching this beer. But trust me, when you open your fridge, you guys win. I'd say 2 out of every 10 people are like, okay, yeah. I get it. But everybody else is like, it's fucking horrible. Baby diapers and sewage. I'm like, yeah.
They're like, baby diapers aren't that bad.
So my tolerance for butyric had to back off. So it's possible other people kind of crazy
how your perspective changes, right? Like, once you actually have to change baby diapers.
My entire perspective is fucking completely flipped. I can't remember what it was like before.
Hasn't slept in 9 months.
I've seen some video, but it's good.
I really like the way it drinks, though. It's probably tied to whatever that thing you're getting is, but there's a non-offensive oiliness to it, like almost like an aloe vera, like the inside of a cactus kind of gel mouthfeel.
Yeah.
I definitely get your strawberries. So, John, I've asked you to remember this, and I'm sure you don't remember, but...
Hi, I'm John.
Who are you? Something where I say green strawberries.
Yeah.
And we've always figured out that is raspberries or something. Like it's something plus something, and I say it smells like... This is that kind of strawberry to me, so it's going to end up being whatever that other fruit is.
Yeah.
I agree with that, and I get that every time that I taste the beer, but on the aroma, I'm getting old cigarettes. I'm getting
old
like...
Old cigarettes? Yeah, like, I'm like getting Marlboro's like... Marlboro's in a car ashtray?
In like a plastic, you know, little notched...
Like the aluminum one with the sandbag bottom?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
The aluminum one with the sandbag bottom for a poker table?
But it's very...
tart. It just popped when you
said it. Yeah, very faint, but
the minute you said it, I pictured the ashtray of a 70s car.
Yeah. Wait, so
the minute you said it.
But it's fun, and it doesn't necessarily
detract. Wow, did you dose all of us or just John?
But it's really fun. But then, yes, it goes into that green strawberry. So it's not like, it's not Rausch beer smoke.
In the bottom
it's
of his
not,
beer.
Oh, no, it's
else.
Not
no,
smoke.
No, no, no,
smoke
not
at
even
all.
A little bit. But yeah. but that's the weird thing to me. That's the aroma that comes through off of the front of it.
It's probably a phenolic that's going to be in the epoxy world, because what I think we're probably referring to is actually the smell of the filters.
Yeah.
More than the tobacco. Sense. You know what I mean? Like, you always got a place where that visceral childhood memory is. And, you know, I mean, those cigarette butts are fiberglass and cotton and all kinds of things that could just be some version of the Band-Aid.
In the back of the head by my grandmother and her big smoky fingers kind of stuck there, you know, and that's it. Yeah. That's the same smell.
I like it.
It shouldn't smell like this at all.
I like it a
now
lot.
Now I'm getting
though.
Like a lot of like, towards the end of it, on the end finish, I'm getting more like white grapeish, almost like that green.
Yeah, or the white currants.
Yeah, I can see that too, but dries out.
But that's that green strawberry thing.
Yep.
John, you should never give John pre-read on letters. You should hand it to it live. He hates every letter till I decode it for him. That was a bad thing. Do you have another letter? Did we get an email in the last couple of days you can read off the phone? We'll come back to that one. Anyway, but I like it. So where am I putting it? Where do I want? I like white grapes is where I'm landing on the entire experience.
I want to drink
so
this
where do I want
alley.
White grapes?
Really? I want to drink this at a bowling alley in, like, you know, 1992 when I could still smoke inside.
You know what's funny? I like it. Wait, what's the...
You were 11.
I was 12.
Or 12.
Fuck off. I was born in December.
Maybe.
I know. So you are much, much younger than me. You know? But I look much, much older than you.
Sweet baby Jesus. You got to get right with the Lord. You look old.
I'm working
old.
On it.
If thanks. He's your age,
thanks,
and
pal.
I know his life.
Thanks, pal.
You should not look as old as you do.
Thanks, pal.
Patrick eats vegetables.
That's fun.
Fun guy.
All right, back to it.
You need more lion's mane in your life.
God, you're the worst.
Just here to help, John.
Just helping out. Helping a guy out.
Listen, this is not an intervention. This is a podcast. This
anyway,
is fine.
No intentions of intervening with shit. You're my businessman.
Later on, we're going to play you movies of the ultraviolet.
Patrick knows my bar tabs. Yeah, Patrick wants me to continue on the path that I'm on right now. He loves my bar tabs.
Dude, so why would I stop you? All
right, so anyway, so...
Yeah. What? Where are you drinking it?
That's my problem. I wanted to... Because it's
are you
such
at the
a
next
unique
lane
characteristic.
Over
no, because it's such a unique characteristic, I want
it
to
is
be
is it rock and ball?
But
what did they call it
I feel
the,
like
at
I
night
can,
when they turn on the disco the lights? Yeah, was
I
it,
feel
was
like
it rock
because
and ball?
The net result is so kind of wonderfully simply a little bit of acidity, proper bright fruit, that I could coax one of those wine drinkers away. Somebody who's willing to commit to a whole glass. I feel like this would be one of those, like, oh, you like Pinot Grigio, try this beer. And I feel like it's going to hit them where they want to be hit, right? You're always looking for that one. You're like, all right, but I've got a tolerance for the dirty Brett shit more than they will. Or I've got, you know what I mean, because I drink those kind of beers. I feel like unless my palate's gone too far down the sour path, this is the one I could get the person who's standing in my brewery with their significant other going, no, I'm a wine drinker. He's the beer guy. He's the only reason we're here. Like, if I could just be like, oh, yeah, what kind of wine do you like? And when they're like, I really like Pinot Grigio, I could be like, all right, motherfucker, drink this. And they'll be like, oh, yeah. You know, I feel like that's where this beer belongs in the canon.
You don't have a fried fish, would you, by any chance, would you? Because it would go great with that, too.
It would, malt vinegar.
Is there a weird sort of, like, Berliner-type graham cracker savoriness that comes off of this as you drink more and more of it?
Except that I've never heard the ideas of graham crackers and Berliners going together. Sure. I see what you mean. Yeah, it's like weedy, right? Yeah. Like Berliners should be
weedy.
You
need a good, like, fizzy Berliner Weiss.
Yeah. I like this beer.
And shove your mouth full of graham crackers.
I really like this beer. Like, this is one of those sort of, like, fun, confounding beers.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I can't imagine why we like it so much.
Let me see what it is,
because
I don't have a microphone.
It's Dree. It's Dree
Oud Creek.
Or drive.
So we got the fruit. We got it wrong on that, but that's
no, we didn't.
Well, green strawberry.
Creek. I know. Strawberries, cherries in the company of Brett C, all right? Or Brett D. We've said that many times. All right, John, read this letter without reading it first. No pre-read.
Perfect. So this is. Oh man, you ready for this?
I'm always
the
ready.
Subject is give John a solo. This is
did
from
you join the band?
Yeah.
Is this from some bad guy?
This is from Mike Fry.
Hi, Mike. Mike Fry, the band guy. Go on.
Have been listening to the podcast for a while, and I enjoy it. Thanks so much, Mike. However, if they find Augie stuffed in a dumpster near Barcade with a half dozen wine corks jammed down his throat, no jury would convict John.
I'm going to interrupt you again.
Somebody is calling you while
John,
I'm
gonna interrupt
this off
you.
Of your phone.
We both know my throat can handle way more than six quarts.
For the sake of all that's right and good in this world, please let John finish a goddamn sentence.
Fuck you.
Three exclamations. John, I have no idea how you do it. I can't stand being interrupted, and most people with any sense of social grace know how rude it is. Augie is a genius. Okay.
Augie, what's he talking about?
You can stop right there. Just stop right there. That letter
is
finished.
He's super talented.
Thank you, Mike. Write in whatever you like.
What he does. He's glib. He's clever. He's funny. But I come out of my seat every single time he cuts you off.
Wait, John.
And I have no idea
how you keep doing it
without batting an eye. I think my personal hell would be sitting at a table drinking a delicious beer and not being able to drink until Augie is done. But let me digress a minute. And he signs
off as a
John Hall fan.
Okay. So hold on. It was me who was attacked, John. I get
but
this
it was
stand.
Me who was praised.
Yeah, so we got one. Yay, John Hall's got a fan club.
I think, by the way, really quick, I think we established why I look so much older than Doniger while we sit across from each other, and it's mostly because of this show. Sure. Like, we've been doing this 4 years, and I think it's aged
me about 4 fucking
60,
years?
Yeah.
Four years
next month.
God damn it. Well, happy birthday to you, John. Defend
yourself.
Well, I'm not going to defend myself, because why would I defend myself?
John, I run, like, a lot of businesses, and I have 100 people under me.
Yeah.
Fuck. I wouldn't trade it in, man. You're on your own here, bud.
Thank you, brother.
Fuck you, Doniger.
Thanks, man. This is your burden to bear.
All right, so hold on. John,
I'm like Sisyphus. Each week I just show up and I'm just hoping, like, you know,
sorry,
his boat
man.
Sank.
I'm with that guy in the email. Would it be wrong if I thought?
All right, Sisyphus. Take me back to his letter. So the last thing he says is not
John
being
Hall
able
fan.
To drink.
John Hall fan.
No, before that.
No, that's the
he
last
thing. He says something
last
about
letter,
it would drive me crazy not being able to drink. The whole reason I have to talk so much is because he's always drinking. That's one.
Also true.
If the glass wasn't in his mouth, he'd be talking.
Justin
filling
keeps giving
time.
Me straws, too.
It's even
which
more
is
concerning
fun.
To watch his face when his straw falls out of his glass.
I'm just filling time. I'm literally just filling time.
That's when the
time.
Panic really sets in.
Yeah. So John, get through.
That's why he's looking old as shit. He's panicking all the time for his jaw.
Can I go out on a limb here? We don't know where he's from, do we?
Mike Fry? No. That might just be a made-up name.
The only Mike that I know who
listens to the show doesn't like me that much. So,
no, I was
like,
I was talking about the sign-off because yeah. I was hoping it said like Mike from somewhere where we don't just do this every night, like Jersey and New York, right? Like,
yeah.
This is a wonderful episode for that to come in on, right? Because we're drinking with another brewer from New York, we're drinking with another brewer from New York City, and a whole bunch of fucking drunks just giving each other shit and having a good time. That's what the show is supposed to capture.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to like it and piss off. Like,
it's a good thing. I hope.
But
he's
here's how little attention he pays.
Uh huh.
You have a whole fucking podcast that is just you talking, and I make fun of it once every three episodes.
No, no, no. I have a podcast where I ask the guests questions, and they have a chance to answer.
Well, it's a different podcast. Clearly, that's a different podcast. Can I ask you
a weird concept?
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How are its numbers compared to this podcast?
Calculator has arrived on the table.
Yeah.
But
hey, thanks Mike for writing, and thanks everybody for reaching out and writing, and everybody who does Patreon, and it allows us to buy beers and to hang out and to have these conversations where we get to have fun conversations with interesting people.
That much I'll say.
I almost made
and
it
I'm glad
you
have
you
a
interrupting
fan.
Me. I am too. I think it's you know, I'm going to go home and celebrate with the wife.
I told John that within 4 years, he'd have a fan.
April, guess what happened at work commitment. Today?
Yeah. I got a fan.
Mike reached out.
And she's like,
and April's
she's
like
he signed off by saying John Hall's fan.
She's like, all right, John, you can call me back.
Yeah, Justin just texted April being like, can you write a nice letter for John? He's having a tough day at the office.
There's going to be a reward for the sighting of number one John Hall fan this summer.
She's like,
on the beach near you.
Sure, John, you can call me Mike tonight, but just tonight.
That's Mike Fry. Look at that. I think he's from Brick Township Memorial High School from Brick Township. He's married. You can't.
You're
like,
social media stalking the shit out of this guy.
Pulling up people on their Facebook and giving it to me live.
You millennials in your cyber stalking.
That was pretty quick.
You millennials in your cyber stalking.
That's scary quick.
I know.
That was weird.
All right, I'm not going to do it to Justin right
so
now.
So let's get back to our guest because we need to finish up. So, are you presenting beers this week at New York Beer Week?
We are. We have beer. We have 10 events in 7 days.
See, that's
I'm
how you're supposed to hustle.
Running around here. Yeah,
that's the
Kevin,
hustle.
Kevin's got
that's
one.
Kevin's got one.
And this is when it.
He's doing one with you.
One of two.
You're the only event he's doing. He's
Great.
Like, I'm only doing one because it sounded like fun. I was like, oh, Doniger's in it.
That's right.
Of course.
Yes. I think it's Thursday night. I have Evil Twin, Equilibrium at Fool's Gold, and Alewife, and then we're rushing down. Well, I think the gate's going to be a very, very late night. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm expecting that's going to be one.
The gate's the one in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That hotel.
The OG. Actually, the gate was one of the first beer bars I've ever drank in. That's where I met Pat Fondelier, who's now my head of sales.
Right on.
So it was like when I moved to Brooklyn in Park Slope and I opened up Cherry Tree, I would drink at the gate.
Yeah.
And the Old Tiger. And that's when I fell in love with beer. And
Remember
I took
old
over
tiger.
Those ones and I turned it all over.
The Old Tiger.
That's water.
For your
that's
own beer, right?
Sacrilege.
But anyway,
dude,
so that's where I met a lot of the OGs back then. They're still in the game.
I'm still
going to
keep
running
you honest.
Things. And
stop interrupting the game.
Big Pat was cool. I'm going to fucking keep talking.
You should.
I'll listen to you anyway.
Hot.
And it's you know, Pat's been like an OG for me forever. Like, he's ran some good brands around the city. And now, when I was hired my head of sales, I went straight to him. I was like, it's only one guy. Only one guy. And then that all came from the gate. And Bobby's been, you know, a legend in the New York City beer scene for so long. There's so many great brewery or bar owners in the city, and I'm glad that this event is taking recognition of them because, you know, we went through some shit to get here.
Yeah,
like I went through 2 years of nobody coming into the bar because I was charging $6-$7 for a beer, you know?
Yeah.
And pouring local beer, pouring, you know, Sierras and everything. But now it's huge, and it's just getting better, you know? Like, there's more. The craft beer community is so tight, and I've noticed this on the bar side and the brewery side. A fucking funny story about coffee in a minute, but it's you know, we help each other, and when the bar opens up in our neighborhood, we don't hate each other. We go, oh, this is great. This is community. This is more people coming to our neighborhood now. Breweries, there's a brewer's guild that we're on. I'm just like, Everyone shares everything. You know, there's no holding back.
But there's a wonderful kind of survival of the fittest of New York City where there's plenty of people to drink the beer.
Yeah.
You have to be good enough to get them to you, right? Which is why it's always good to give a leg up, right? Because if that guy gets five guys to your neighborhood, once you've got the neighborhood, it's really easy to walk from your place down the street a little and come back, right?
Yeah.
So it's definitely not a bad thing.
No, not at all. Like, New York City is still tiny, and like it's got the most fucking people. It's got the tiniest amount per capita breweries versus population. Same with beer bars. If you break it down, some bars are having they'll have their flagships on, but are what truly personifies a beer bar is, you know, that rare eclectic beer. You know, at least 5 or 6 out of 10 or 20 on it. You know, so it's like, and then when you go to the brewery side, that's starting to build up, but there's only a handful of bloody breweries in New York City. You know, like this is a massive. You see Portland, you see San Diego, these other ones. You know, like this. There's a never-ending chance of survival here for everybody in this game right now, compared to other cities where breweries are. You know, I've been trying to get into the brewery game for over 15 years.
Yeah, and 20 it's like, if you ask.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, it's what I want. But it's been like, you know. Doing this now, we turn it away from the brew pub. You know, it takes time to get there. We're taking our time. We had to contract out, and we like to go up and gypsy brew once, twice a week. And we've started doing smaller batches and getting more beer out there so we can experiment with more. So when we open our own place, my brewery equipment just shipped today.
And that's it's the biggest deal in the world.
When we build our own place, we can hit the ground running a little bit so we don't start from scratch.
Augie kept interrupting himself.
Yeah. God damn it, John Hall.
We have a minute before you have to catch the Lusitania.
We'll figure it out. And it's called the Titanic.
The same thing. I'm wondering, though, as you transition from bars and to opening up a brewery, right, because we've seen that the tap room model has taken off. And, you know, that's where people, especially like beer people, are spending a lot of their time in the bar business. When you talk to folks like Michael Roper from
Map Room,
and, you know, you go to Hop Leaf and you talk to Polly Watts down in New Orleans, and all of the great beer bars that
Avenue
laid,
Pub is one of my favorite bars
Avenue
in the
Pub
entire
is one
country.
Of the, one of the greatest bars in the country. But Chris Black at Falling Rock goes through this as well.
Jeez, you're just dropping names.
I am. No, but I'm trying to establish the narrative, which is
like
great that August stepped away for just a second. Fuck off.
He's using a journalism background
here.
He
just walks away, and you just like take on the mantle, and it's just awful.
I love you.
I love you too. But you know, just let me ask the question, because I think this is important. That with 7,100 breweries in the country, and they're opening up in small neighborhoods, and people are spending their afternoon, or at least a portion of their afternoon, in tap rooms, and the way that they used to spend it in bars. Is this the natural progression for bar owners to get into the brewery game, because that's where at least the hardened beer business is going, or the craft beer business is going?
I can appreciate that thought, absolutely. But for me, it's always been a goal, always, since I started pouring beer years ago. So, but I can see your train of thought there.
Yeah,
it would make sense for them to do that. Bars are, you know, I've seen my brother, as we were talking about Rattling Home East, he lost his lease there a few months ago.
Oh, goodness.
Landlords are just getting insane, greedier and greedier. My landlord wants to kick me out.
Which one?
Of them.
I was gonna say, it's not
he's
just
like,
fun,
wouldn't a steakhouse be better suited here? I'm like, yeah, you made the fucking bad decision a couple of years ago. Don't come back and bite me an ass now. Like, my signature's there, right there with yours, asshole. But, you know, it's like...
You have to have your landlord come in, though, if he wants to put in a steakhouse. If Justin likes it, you get to keep your lease. If Augie likes it, you get to lose your lease.
Wait, I think you have that backwards.
No.
Justin likes shitty steak.
That's what I'm saying.
But that's not a way to keep your lease. Oh, I'm sorry. I understand.
You guys go way off tangent, don't you?
All right. So, Doniger, thank you for joining us.
Thieves, it's good to hear you guys
thank
talk.
You for patronizing.
Glad I came all the way down.
Poor Kevin's here for a second show, and like he said like three words. He's like, yeah, that is an ashtray. Jeez. That's fun.
Was it me this time, or was it you? I feel like it was
Who
you.
Who likes to hear
you,
their
You
boys.
Were having a good time.
Yeah, you just kind of turned yourself off. That's fun.
I thought I was doing good.
Were you?
I was letting you talk, and then a guy bitched about me letting you talk, so now I'm never doing it again.
There you go.
But listen to
God love you. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll be here next
week. All right.
All right, so
join in for
you
more
wanna...
John and Augie next week.
That's right.
99.9% of the show, John and Augie. And 1.1% of the guests.
You just had the mic. You just had the mic for 10 minutes. Anyway, but yeah, so what lets you guys hear John and I talk is Patreon dollars. Thank you, guys. And whatever. If they want to write us a letter,
whatever.
They do it at stealthespearpodcast@gmail.com. We're on all the different socials as Steal the Spear.
Yeah, come get at us on Facebook.
We do appreciate
get us wound up.
All of our guests and all of our Patreons, even though John doesn't let us show. And John, you got a fan today. Mazel tov.
Thanks, April.
That's just the first one to come out of the woodwork, John. There will be more.
All right, John, get at
it. It takes one to start.